Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps, Cleveland's sports radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Is the team you really want to see on Sunday the Buffalo Bills? I mean, think about that. Browns and the Buffalo Bills. You got one team who folks are talking about as a Super Bowl contender, and you have another team that you're thinking, where is this thing going? Where is it going to play out? How is it going to play out? Can you get a good look at guys? But that's what the Browns have to deal with coming up on Sunday. Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan playing his role and the role of Andy Baskin today. Good morning, Daniel.
The answer to your question is no. That is about the last team that I want to look at, especially as a team that's starting to figure it out a little bit better, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, it's exactly what I think, too.
That's the last group of people I want to see, and especially when your defense is reeling a little bit. Oh, here comes a superhero.
Yep.
Yeah, here comes the quarterbacking equivalent of a demigod. Good luck!
Along with enough talent around him that they're pretty potent. They don't have that absolutely elite wide receiver, I don't think. But they have some pretty good wide receivers. They have a competent group. They have good tight ends, and James Cook is really good in the backfield. And that team's rolling into Cleveland coming up on Sunday.
And is Keon Coleman showing up on time for meetings?
He is not.
That's the real question.
He's still trying to find himself, which is understandable, I guess. And as you said, the defense has been playing better, which might be problematic. That's where we're going to go with this one today. And it's this, and I don't mean to jump right into quarterback here, but we're going to. We've talked a lot of Kevin Stefanski the last several days and his situation and where this might go. I don't think there's anything we can do other than just sit tight and see what happens eventually. And do the final three games, does that have anything to do with Kevin's future or not? Who knows? We'll find out. But the next three games might have something to do. Might. With the future of Shedeur Sanders. And that's kind of where we're going to go with this. And it's this. We've seen some stuff. He's made four starts. What have you thought? What's he looked like? Have you been left with more questions or more answers? And I think those questions don't even have good answers to them. If you want to know the truth. Because I think the team itself has made it hard to analyze the play of anybody. That to me has been a really rough thing, Dan.
100%. What I think of him to this point is a guy who is peaks and valleys right now. I feel like that's what I'm truly watching is peaks and valleys. And that's rookie quarterback play at its finest hour. There are some things every single game you look at and you go, damn, that's a really nice throw.
We've seen some of those.
And you see those.
Yep.
And then there are other moments that come very short after that where you're like, oh, that sack was horrendous. Oh, what are you looking at? Like, it feels like I'm watching rookie quarterback play. And I'm watching a guy who is trying to figure out what other teams are doing to him. And a guy who other teams are figuring out what they can do to distract, to make his life harder. I feel like that's what we're watching. We're watching a guy try to figure out what's going on in front of him and understand it as other teams are gaining more tape and understanding how to take away what he does best. And you're just going to ride the roller coaster, and it's going to be peaks and valleys. And if you're going to give me three more games of data, I am going to take all three games of that data. I keep rolling them out there and keep going, all right, give me more tape. Give me more tape. Let me see if you can adjust to what other teams are doing. Let me see if there are things that other teams are throwing at you that you haven't been able to understand round one, but round two, you're starting to understand a little bit better. Let me see some growth. And that's where I am. It's pretty simple. It's rookie quarterback play, and let's see if it looks better at the end of three games than it did in the beginning.
I think this is too obvious to ignore. And I don't think you can just say, well, you know, whoever it is on the schedule, blah, 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 blah. I don't think it's any coincidence at all that Shador's best two games came against teams that are both 2-12. Raiders.
Who are a mess.
Titans.
Who are a mess.
And the games where he was a little more challenged and had a little tougher go of it. The 10-4 49ers.
Robert Saleh,
and the
well-known defensive coordinator and smart guy.
And the 10-4 Chicago Bears.
Dennis Allen, been around this league a long time.
So, you know, the two games where he's, I think, has had better performances, those two teams have combined for 4 wins. The other two teams have combined for 20 wins. And that's where, you know, you kind of hope, all right, here come the Buffalo Bills. And they're playing for something. And they're getting better. They're doing what teams are supposed to do. If you're going to try and make a playoff run, you get better as the season goes on, and you're primed when you get to late December. And that's where it looks like they're going. And that's why I think this game will be telling. That's why I think the Steeler game will be telling. And the Bengal game, maybe not so much, but still, it's the Bengals. There are three real challenges ahead here for the football team and for your young quarterback.
And I want to see what this looks like. I'm fascinated by it. Where it's like, are we just going to ride the roller coaster again? Because if it's gone peak, valley. So is this going to be a peak? Or is this going to be Sean McDermott confusing Shador Sanders, messing with his eyes, him not being able to understand what's totally in front of him and taking bad sacks? Or is he going to understand what's coming his way and be well-prepped, well-versed, and processing quickly enough to get the ball out fast? And to be able to understand all those things, because it's not like the pass rush for the Bills has been great since Ed Oliver went down. You know, you can gash the Bills' defense. The question is it's a rookie quarterback. It's not meant to be a slam on Shador. It's just the truth. He's figuring this out as he goes. He hasn't seen a chunk of this stuff in the Big 12. He didn't see a chunk of this stuff at Jackson State. He hasn't seen this level of speed and scheme combined. So let's see what this looks like. Javis, funny sounds, I want as much data as I can get. This is just another point of data.
Question. Do these three games play a major role in what you're thinking might be this offseason? I think the Browns are the only ones who can actually answer that for you. And the guys who might be able to answer that for you might not even be the guys calling the shots right now. We don't know about that. Let's just assume they are. If they see things in these next three games against two teams that are fighting for playoff spots, for division titles, everything else, two of those teams, the first two, if your rookie quarterback goes out and plays well in these games, I think it tells you a lot. And I also think if you go out and you have absolute stinkers out of the quarterback, I think that's telling as well, Dan. And you know, it's not, I don't think it's as cut and dry as this. Yes, he's our starter. No, he's not our starter for next year. I don't think it's that cut and dry, but I think it gets close. If he goes out and plays really well, I don't think there's any question. You can go out and roll into next season with him as the starter and give him more time next year while you develop other areas of this team. In the draft, and you know, you're focusing on other parts of the offense, the line and the wide receiver. And I don't think there's any issue with that at all. But if, let's just say, they go out and they play terribly offensively against Buffalo, against Pittsburgh, against Cincinnati, if it just doesn't work, and the guys who are breaking down the tape in Berea see that, wait a minute, the offensive line was okay in this game. The receivers were open, whatever. If he plays a really, if he doesn't play up to the rest of the offense, which has been bad, I think you're going to have to really think about some things next year. And it doesn't necessarily mean draft.
First, if this offensive line finds its way to okay or mediocre, I think we would all do a backflip.
Yeah, would you like to applaud now or what?
I was going to say, if we hit the point where we're all looking at each other going, wow, the offensive line was fine. Like, I'll take fine. Fine sounds fantastic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they are going to go into next season with him, A, on the roster, and B, probably as the penciled-in starter, due to the fact that, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, he's cheap. That plays a huge role when you got a whole lot of money going into Deshaun Watson, and you've got other dead cap hits that are going to hit your way as well. You need somebody in there who's going to be not very expensive, and rookies are cheap. So I think that plays into it. I bet you want to make people really sick. I wonder if he struggles in the last three games, I bet you we hear the words quarterback competition in camp with he and Dylan Gabriel. If you want to, I wouldn't Dan, shock me in the slightest.
Don't, you might want to sit. And Deshaun Watson. If he's here, I know you don't want him here. If he's here, well, why wouldn't you? Right? Why wouldn't you? Why would you flat out dismiss him if he's on this roster going into training camp and into the offseason? I would think you're right. If it doesn't go well with Shador, and I think it should be.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't either. And let me throw something out. Bailey Zappe or whatever free agent quarterback du jour you want to bring in to play the Bailey Zappe role, or maybe play an even bigger role. There's some guys out there who you know could come in and do a competent job for you playing quarterback. And we see that around the league. Guys are stepping in and being competent on a competent offense. For instance, Kirk Cousins the other night on Thursday. He looked really good. Well, Kyle Pitts had a career game. They didn't even have Drake London. So there are guys who could come in and run the offense. If you see in the next three games, it's not quite there yet. And if you don't see it in the next three games, I agree with you. You don't have to name a starter.
No.
Heading, you know, and again, the guys who are in charge now might not be the guys in charge when you get to OTAs and everything else.
Good point.
In which case, there's no question it's a competition.
It's a good point. I mean, you might have a different set of eyes in here, and they may even have their guy in here too.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Because you could easily see, we've been down this road enough times in Cleveland and everywhere else in the NFL, where you could easily see a case where the next group of guys come in that they're impressed with, and they look around and they go, well, none of these guys can execute my scheme. None of these guys are my handpicked successors.
I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy.
I don't want to deal with Dylan Gabriel's height. I don't understand quarterbacks who can play at that short of a level. And I don't like Shador Sanders, whether you want to say it's his fan club that follows him around, or frankly, I don't like Shador Sanders play on the field. And I don't think that's something I can win with. And I don't like Dylan Gabriel checking it down all the time. I need somebody who could do that. Like, we've been down this road enough times in Cleveland to know that that GM and that coach, the first thing that they're going to do is possibly come in and change the quarterback.
I don't know that you can wrap up your position for next season, but you can certainly wrap up being a major part of the conversation and perhaps, along with some other circumstances that we're going to get into later, keep your team from drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Wrap up your opportunity. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. What's the level of opportunity Shedeur Sanders is going to have next year? Because I bet he will be on the roster here next year, again, pending some other coach come in.
I would certainly think so.
I think he'll be on the roster. So the next question from there is going to be, what is your level of opportunity? Are they going to look at you and go, hey, you need a boatload of development. You're back to being the third string. We'll have you work with coach such and such throughout the whole thing and go from there.
Which, do you think is possible?
Yes.
I wonder if that's possible. You know, it's like the genie's out of the bottle. Can you put the genie back in the bottle? In other words, could you now just say, hey, Shedeur, you're going to be the backup. You're going to be third string. I can't even picture him being third string. Maybe backup, but because the only way I see him as the backup here is if they decide that Deshaun Watson is healthy and good to go. I don't see them bringing in a quarterback who would start above Shedeur next year. Do you? See, and why?
If you're operating...
That's Dan Menigan, by the way. I'm Jeff Phelps. Andy's out today.
If we're operating under the thought that a new coach could come in, again, we've been down this road enough times that we know how this goes. If a new coach comes in here, that new coach might look at the quarterback room that's here and go, I can't win with this. I need my vet. And that coach could turn around and trade for Mac Jones. And a chunk of us could all look at each other and go, oh, God, really? Him? We could play that. You could easily play that game.
Insert Carson Wentz here.
Right. I need to bring in my guy. We've been down this road. Or, you know, we've been down this road enough times to know that could be the case. Now, I'm not in for that idea. I don't want that idea. I would rather go into next season and go the quarterback is on the roster right now. And again, let's get as much data as humanly possible before hopping into the next draft, because I don't think this team is one draft away. I don't think this offensive line is one offseason away from being fixed, though Mike Martz told us you can do it. Yeah, you can. But what's the overall likelihood that you will do it? See, that's the other side of this whole thing. I'm someone in a team building philosophy who likes to build everything around and drop the quarterback in, and then we go. So let's start building everything around.
Especially if you have to reach for the quarterback, if you're not going to do it that way. Right now, any quarterback would appear to be a reach.
Let's start building everything around. And maybe Shedeur Sanders is that guy, and he's the quarterback already dropped in, and you build around him. Great. Give me as much data as humanly possible to make that decision, because that way I can invest in other places.
You know, the one thing about Sanders in this situation is the tape that he puts together might not be tape for the guys who are here.
Yeah.
And that's why I think these games could be critical. Because who knows? Again, who knows? But you could be coached by someone else next year, and you could have a different general manager next year, and they don't have any attachment to you, and you might need to put stuff on tape to show them exactly what you can do.
Can I take a behind the mic question and move it to the front of the mic? This is something I'd ask you behind the mic. You ready?
Go ahead.
How hard would you laugh if the Browns moved on from Kevin Stefanski and Kevin Stefanski ended up on a different team and they traded for Shedeur Sanders?
Okay, that'd be the most stunning thing ever.
How hard would you laugh?
The one thing that
I might have tears in my eyes.
The one thing that we have seen is that Shedeur seems to have made a pretty good impression on his teammates. And when you think about teammates on the offense, one guy who's always been a pretty straight shooter and a guy who's always wanted to be here and is here now and was the only starter on the offensive line who actually played the other day was Joel Bitonio, who had these thoughts on Shedeur after the game.
He's never complained once. He just really does keep his head down, and he's trying to pocket, you know, breakdowns, and he takes some big hits, and he's just back up and trying to make the next play, trying to make a big play. So it's a huge credit to him, and hopefully we can continue to improve around him, give him a chance.
The first thing Joel said there, you didn't hear it very well, is he never complained once. And he just kept going and working and, you know, doing what he's supposed to do out there. Which, if you're a young player, period, but especially a young quarterback, and things aren't going well, that's how you endear yourself to your teammates.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Freese is in Akron. Hello, Freese.
Freese, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Doing well.
So I've been listening to y'all show and a couple others on the morning show, and I've been hearing a lot about this evaluation, you know, basically like of Shador or whatever, right?
First, appreciate you listening, man. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. But the only problem that I'm having is that the guys that he's throwing to or got protecting him, like most of those guys on the offensive line right now that's filling in for our starters, they probably won't even be in the NFL. And then our receivers, we got one legitimate receiver, which is our tight end, who's catching balls and making plays, man. We don't have a number one receiver or anything like that. So I don't think it should be the evaluation of Shador and whatever he can do in this offense. The problem is what Barry has put out there for him to operate in this system. And Stefanski, if they can't get it together and at least produce 20 points a game or whatever for the next couple weeks, I just think they got to go. That way we can get somebody in here, man, who can really evaluate some talent and put our offense together and make us at least competitive for the next couple of years.
Freese, very sensible thoughts. And Dano, that's the one thing that we said after the loss the other day is just this. Okay, you just got smoked by Chicago 31-3, and you had one starter on your offensive line and your wide receiver. So how can you get a good evaluation on anybody? And Freese is right. That's one of the issues here in the final three games. Are you going to get a good evaluation on anybody on this offense based on what the offense actually looks like?
But it's the only thing I got, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's the problem.
That's the point.
Yep. I can't change the variables.
That's the
because
point.
You ready to tick some people off? We can make the same argument that Dylan Gabriel went through the same thing and had the same circumstances and situations. Maybe a healthier Jack Conklin. But yeah. Boy, if that's going to be your answer to this question, then we're playing the same
Wyatt
game.
Healthier Wyatt Teller.
And a healthier Wyatt Teller. You're right. Yeah. But we're playing the same game, essentially, with both of these guys.
And Posick, come to think of it.
I have to look at these guys and judge what is in front of me by what I have on the table. I can't change the variables. I can't all of a sudden pick up the phone and bring in other wide receivers and bring in other offensive linemen. I got to judge the guys by what I'm seeing in front of me right now because it's the only data I have.
Jim's in Strongsville. Good morning, Jim.
How are you, Jim?
Hey, guys, I couldn't disagree with you more. Listen, I think if the Browns, I would think that they were literally insane if they went into next year and says, we've got the quarterback for next year on the roster right now. Because you know what? That tells me you don't have a plan. What's your backup plan? And I'm going to take you guys back to this one right here. Because we all said it at the beginning of the year, and I want to remind everybody of it. We all said at the beginning of the year there was probably nothing either of these quarterbacks could do to convince us that they would have to play so well, but there was probably no chance they could play even well enough to convince the Browns not to take a quarterback in this upcoming draft. What's changed? Shedeur Sanders hasn't played lights out. If one of these top two quarterbacks, which the Browns keep losing, is there, you would take the quarterback. Look, I get it. Sure, shown some nice little flashes and whatever, and we're all against the journeyman guy. But guess what? Some of these journeyman guys, we don't know that Shedeur Sanders isn't worse than them. He's not done anything to prove to me that he's this guy that's better than some journeyman that you bring in that's going to – look, it goes back to what Jeff and I have been talking about forever. You try to win every year. The goal is to win. You try to win. I have no interest in going in next year without a backup plan to Shedeur. Like, that's insanity. That's throwing a year away saying, well, if he doesn't work out, at least we'll have a good draft pick for the following. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
I am not interested in that. You have to have a plan, backup plan on your backup plan, and I don't think anything's changed with Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel to tell me that, like, we've said from the beginning of the year, They couldn't do anything that would stop it. And now we've gotten subpar performances or not lights out performances from both of them. Now we're like ready to say, well, maybe we do have a good quarterback. We don't have to do it. I just don't understand the change of philosophy.
Jim, thoughts on this? And here's a little bit of the change of philosophy. And we're going to get into this coming up in the noon hour. The guys who I liked most who were possibly coming out of this draft aren't coming out in this draft. And all of a sudden, the draft that looked like there might be five or six first-round quarterbacks, I've got a couple of mock drafts we're going to talk about along with just taking a look at these guys. One mock draft has only three quarterbacks coming or getting drafted in the first round, and one of them, only two of them in the top like five. And that's the issue. I don't know if you're going to find anybody better, and it might be a situation, this is my thing, where you kick it down the road another year.
If you're picking top one or two, though, I think that you have to kick the tires and look real long and hard at the top two guys that are going to be there. That's all I'm saying.
If Moore is there, yeah, we'll have a conversation. If Mendoza is there, yeah, we'll have a conversation.
But see, that's the problem. The problem is Jets are going to be up there and talk that they can trade up to the Giants if the Giants have number one. And Raiders are right there. Both teams need quarterbacks. That's the problem, Jim.
Well, like we've talked about before, I'm not trading assets to move up for either of these.
I agree with you. Jim, thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate it.
But that's the thing, is we walked into this season and we set the goal. The goal was to find out if the quarterback of the future is sitting on the roster or in the 2026 draft.
And see, I don't think that's been accomplished.
And I don't think that's been accomplished either.
And I agree with Jim. We said I don't think there's enough sample size. I don't think we've seen enough of Dylan Gabriel. I also think Shedeur is ahead of him. And I know we haven't seen enough of Shedeur. He's only had four starts. Mm-hmm. And will three more be enough? I don't think so.
And I want to see more.
But it might be all you get. See, that's, and I mean that from this standpoint. Okay, this is all we have of a sample size of this guy. And any quarterback that we want in this draft isn't available to us. Either they're going back to school or they're going one and two. You know, the Browns might end up with one too many wins this year to get the quarterback that they might want. And that's a bad thing. Have you seen enough to make you think, yep, you're good to go? Or do you want to see more? And that puts this team in a really, I won't say tough spot, but boy, they have decisions to make that they better not, you better not miss. If you're thinking you're going to draft a guy, I think you can bring back what you have and be okay, because bringing back what you have doesn't lead to another big swing and a miss. We're kind of looking a little specific on this. Have you seen enough from Shedeur in four starts to make you think, okay, we're good there at quarterback for next year? I'm not talking about franchise quarterback that you have found, your Josh Allen, your Joe Burrow, your Lamar Jackson. Just, okay, could you go into next season with this guy as your starting quarterback? In other words, not taking a quarterback in this draft or going out and making a big deal to bring in a guy who's your clear-cut starter. I think these last three games still need to provide some information, Dan.
Because I have them. I mean, I know that sounds really silly to say, but they will provide me information, and I'm going to use every bit of that information because I have these opportunities to get that information. So I'm not making a decision on anything when it comes to Shedeur Sanders until I have everything I possibly can, and then let's hammer the table and figure out if that's the answer. I know that's probably the worst thing that you could say in the business of sports talk radio, but it is the truth. You're giving me the opportunity to get more evidence and to get more data and to procrastinate? Done. You should have known me in high school. I was the guy up till 3 a.m. typing papers.
Nice job.
I'm going to procrastinate this as much as I possibly can to get the clearest picture I can.
You know, one thing about this, though, Buffalo, Bills are a good team. They're going to the playoffs. A lot of folks think they're a Super Bowl contender. Pittsburgh, trying to win the division, go to the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers played really well last game.
Defense is starting to look a little bit better.
Defense is looking better. I think you're going to learn more in the next two games, even with everything else that's on the offense that isn't working. You're going to learn more about Shedeur in the next two than you've learned in the previous four. I think they'll be very telling. And if he looks good, I'd be real hesitant to, and we'll explain why later on in the show, because we're going to look at these college guys. It's that landscape has changed from what you and I thought as soon as they traded with Jacksonville. I mean, you and I both screamed. It screams quarterback.
Screams quarterback next year. Give me as much evidence.
It's not screaming it anymore.
Give me what I can to move up.
We'll get into that. Paul's in Canton, the beautiful Stark County. What's up, Paul?
All right, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning. I agree with you guys, as in, you know, more information to make a better decision. That's what, you know, kind of life's about. You get as much information as you can, you make the best decision. Now, what has changed since the beginning of the year, at least for me, is that Sanders has shown me, you know, talent, toughness, accuracy. His teammates love him, which is a lot more than what the Browns kind of leaked out, as in he was the worst. He's so far behind. This is a redshirt year. He's behind Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel. He looks better than Flacco. So for me, for a man to overcome all of this, and I'm going into the draft, that means that those, I have to believe that those quarterbacks would have done better in this situation than Sanders. And they would have done so much better. They would be worth more. They would be worth the picks, the millions of dollars, whatnot. I'm an old dude. I've seen Steve Young his rookie year, Peyton Manning his rookie year, even recently with Josh Allen. And they looked bad.
They all needed help.
Like, yep. Talent. Yep. Right. They look like NFL quarterbacks. Sanders looks like an NFL quarterback. We just don't know what level. So,
Paul, that's well put. I think that's well put.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. I think he belongs in the league. You're 100% right.
Correct. And that says a lot. These guys coming up, they don't look like John Elway or Luck, who were, you know, oh, you can't miss these guys. These are talent. They look good. Do they look so much good that we're willing to risk millions of more dollars? Because, like you said earlier, he's cheap. Sanders is cheap. And, hey, goodness gracious, these picks, when we need all this help with a last-place offensive line, last-place wide receivers, last-place special teams. I mean, I'm not sure that these guys would have looked any better.
Paul, well said. See, and here's the other aspect of this. Your team has so many holes. If you, unless you're locked in on somebody, the last thing this team needs to do is take another big gamble at that position, Dan. And the way this draft is starting to play out, and where the Browns are sitting in this draft, and again, we're going to get into this a little bit later on, it would be a big gamble, it feels like, to take a quarterback in the first round. You might be better off kicking it down the road a year, taking your quarterback in 2027, or not taking one at all, because as it turns out, you have a guy here who's developed, whether it be Shador or you found a free eight, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I agree with you. I would rather take those picks at this point in the process and invest them in a big wide receiver, whether it's the kid from Washington, who I think his last name is Boston, but don't hold me to that.
It is.
Either him.
Tyson at Arizona State.
Tyson at Arizona State. Or I would throw Carnell Tate in there, too. I know Absolutely. A lot of people love him as well. I just want a big body dude that I can have my quarterback go throw it in his general vicinity, and he'll come down with it.
And then draft about two or three linemen.
Exactly.
Later in the first and in the second and everything else.
Exactly.
Sean's in South Euclid. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. The thing that I think a lot of fans are looking at this from the wrong direction, and there's not much more data to be obtained from watching this team with Shedeur Sanders. I'm a Shedeur Sanders guy, but the thing you have to remember about data, and I work in IT, so I have to remember this, bad information that goes in is only going to produce bad information that comes out. So when you have bad play calling, third and fourth team is playing on the offensive line. When you have a number one receiver that's dropping easy touchdown passes, you're not getting the data that you think you need in order to make a true evaluation. And in terms of drafting Mendoza, the question I would ask people is Mendoza good enough to raise the play of who probably is going to be the number one receiver next year, unfortunately, in Judy? And if he's not, then what are we doing? Because
the only thing with it, Sean, it's the only data I have. And whether it's bad data, it's the only stuff I have. And it's up to me to either put my thumb on the scale to make it better or to look at it for exactly what it is. Because it's the only thing I got.
No. There's a third option there.
Okay.
You improve the system so that you get better data.
And the only way you're going to do that in 2025.
Oh, well, you can't do that in 2025 because they screwed up from the very beginning. So you look at 2026, and you say, hey, let's get a receiver. Yeah. Hey, let's get this man a left tackle. Hey, let's see if DeJuan Jones can go back to right tackle and fulfill that position because Jack Conklin is not going to be here. That's when you produce good data. And another last point I want to make. Earlier this year, and you might remember, Jeff, I called in and made a comment about Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry attending that Ohio State game. And I said it was a bad look. The thing to remember that is that's the only game from my recollection that Jimmy Haslam attended. Why? Because he probably wanted to see Manning. So if Manning is the apple in his eye, why would he want the team to go ahead and get Mendoza when you have someone who has potential? If he bangs, then you got your starting quarterback. If he doesn't, then the guy that you wanted from the very beginning is available in 2027.
John?
And you give him all the tools you need because you had a good 2026 draft and put a team around him to go and take off as a rookie.
John, you're making sense. Thank you, Sean. See, and that's the thought that I have here. It's like, and I've mentioned we're going to get into this. Guys are going back. Lenora Sellers, who I like a lot, is going back to South Carolina. And he's apparently not going to transfer. Manning's going back to Texas. He's not going to transfer. Other guys, the kid out of Cincinnati, is going back, but he's entering the transfer portal.
Yep.
And he came on strong. 2 years at Indiana, Sorsby's his name.
Yep.
2 years at Indy, 2 years at Cincy. He's staying in school and going to the transfer portal.
We have no idea what Dante Moore is doing.
And Dante Moore is undecided.
Because we all know Phil Knight can roll in and write a check with a lot of zeros
exactly
on the end.
Exactly right. And you know what? And a lot of people think highly of Dante Moore. Dante played his first year at UCLA a little bit and then transferred to Oregon and sat behind Dylan Gabriel and was real smart about it. He said, you know, nothing wrong with taking a step back and watching and learning, which I thought was very sensible. But he's had one good year of college football. If you're Dante Moore and Phil Knight's going to write you a check, why don't you stay? And here's why you wouldn't. Because chances are he's going to be the number two pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we see a couple of guys who are on the fringes look around and go, oh, man, there's not many quarterbacks in here.
This might be the year to come out.
I could be the third best quarterback in this draft.
And see, that's the catch. Because somebody might overdraft a quarterback. What you don't want it to be, Browns fans, is the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
That's what you don't want, which is why these next three games, if Shador can go out and look like, yeah, okay, yep, we can go with this guy next year. Not even thinking anything beyond next year. And you have Deshaun here, and you put all your resources into other things. Dan, dare I say this?
Dare.
You take Drew Aller in the second or third round?
And, oh, no.
And you have a guy that maybe you can develop, and maybe he doesn't develop. But it's not like you're taking that gamble in the first round on a guy like Ty Simpson. Let's say Ty Simpson. I've seen him in mock drafts. You know where he's going? Late first round. Rams, late first round.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.